So let me take Apple as an example, because it's one that probably resonates with all of you. So if Apple was like any other computer company, they would say, we make great products. They're easy to use. They work efficiently. You want to buy one? That's what most computer companies would say. And you'd probably go, no big deal. But here's how Apple talk about it. They say, we believe in disrupting technology to be able to make products that are transformational, that would change the way you conduct your business. And how we do that is by making great products. They're simple to use and they're efficient. You want to buy one? And that's the reason that you have people queuing outside their stores before they launch a product. Because they are a company that's focused on the why. Oh boy, what a difference our ministries would be if we were to have that mindset as to why we are doing what we're doing and never lose focus. I don't want to go through what the message was this morning, but if we in our lives are consecrated, if we in our lives are willing to take a stand, as we heard this morning, then we will be in this camp and we will never lose focus of why we do what we do. And so very quickly, I'm not going to spend too much time in the interest of time. Here's the mindset of individuals that are in this camp. They are people that are focused on the intellectual drive. They are people that are willing to challenge the status quo. They are the people that come to you and ask, can you tell me why you're doing this? They're not ashamed to ask questions as to why. And they're willing to unravel some things that have been just the way things have been done over a period of time. They are the people that are willing to expand the vision and say, oh yes, we've got 15 or 2,000 people in our community. But what about the next community? What about the one around that? How do we make sure that we start a Bible study here, we start one here? How do we increase our soul winning ministry? And how do we start not just an institute, but how can we start a Bible college that actually that can support all of our country? How do we start a printing business so that we can actually, you know, print resources that we can get to every pastor across India? That's the vision that God wants us to have. And those are the people that have that intellectual drive. Again, don't mistake, it's not in our wisdom. It says God opens up our mind. Secondly, these are people that are, you would find that they are engaged. These are the people that come and they not only lead from the front and they establish credibility and they demonstrate credibility, but they are people that are willing to not take somebody's ideas and run in front, but they're willing to take a team along and they recognize people for what they do. I just appreciate Pastor Chappell. You know, it was great to see him bringing those pastors up to the front, recognizing those pastors that are supporting, you know, in hosting, you know, just providing accommodation. You know, what a blessing that is. That blesses their heart, right? And that's what it's all about. The third is transformational leaders inspire others. They're people that inspire others. They communicate effectively. They communicate consistently. You ask them at different times. You ask them in an elevator. You ask them in a meeting. You ask them when they're addressing their staff. They're people that are consistent in how they communicate. And so it's not only communicating effectively, but it's being consistent so that the people that you are communicating to clearly understand the message and the mission that you're on. They inspire fellowship. They inspire other groups to come together, to partner with them, to work together. And so the simple truth is that they're not people, they're not loners. They've got good people around them. And if you want to be a transformational leader, don't be afraid of getting good people around you. If you get to a stage where you feel, you know, so threatened by people, you'll be in this camp. Because you will never bring good leaders around you. You'll never bring good men around you. You'll be because you're afraid that they will take your role. But if you have security, and my dear friends, we can have security because we're talking about transformational leaders in God's work. And if you believe that God's placed you there, you don't have to fear. Because if God moves you, that's great that God would move you somebody else, somewhere else. So bring good people around you. And, you know, I talk about influence. It's about earning trust and confidence. And so if you want to be a great leader, be one that instills confidence. That means you don't let your team down. That means you stand up for your team in public. You deal with them privately. You help them privately. You encourage them privately. You coach them privately. But you build credibility and you build confidence. And then finally, you be that role model. That means you've got to be that person that is full of energy. You've got to be that person that still smiles, that's still confident, no matter, even if things aren't working quite well. Because if you let your guard down, if you say, oh boy, I don't know what's happening, that's how people around you will feel. And they will shrug their shoulders. And so you may battle with God in your altar room. You may, you know, just, I'm not asking you to be insincere. I'm not asking you to be, you know, somebody here that you're not. But as a leader, you want to make sure that you are constantly instilling confidence in your people. So the first is be purposeful. Second is plan. And there is no shortcut to planning. It's not going to fall on your lap. And so if you want a verse of scripture, and here's one that I've held on dearly, Proverbs 24:27, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. There are three statements there that I hold dearly. The first is, prepare thy work without. Take time after you've spent time in asking God to lead and direct and commit your life. Take time to plan. Even if it means getting out for a couple of days so that you are alone, take time to plan. Secondly, make it fit for thyself. Don't try to be like somebody else. You ask God to help you to be the best that you can be. And that's what He desires of you. And then, and afterward, build thine house. And so for me personally, I want to share some things that I do. As I begin the year, I have some personal focus areas. I don't have 5 pages. I try to get it onto 1 page. And here are some things that I'm focused on delivering. So whether it's at American Express, as I'm leading, here's what I basically set my focus on. These are going to be things that I'm going to be measured on. And these are going to be things that I'm going to be measuring my team on. And so there's clarity and there's no confusion because I'm clear about what I need to do and my team's very clear about what they need to do. And we would talk through the year, you know, periodically to make sure that there is alignment. If there's help that they need, I'll make sure that I get that help, whether it's with regards to training, whether it's regards to clarity. But be clear about areas that you're going to deliver on. And it's good whether it's a church or a youth ministry, whatever it is that you are looking at, to have agreed on with the person that you're reporting to. Second is, if these are my key deliverables, then I would think about what are some key priorities that I must set for myself if I am to achieve that goal. I'm not sharing anything here that's just rocket science. I'm telling you some things that you probably already do. But it's important to get it from here onto a piece of paper. The third is, I've got a section in that. I just use a PowerPoint slide and I create 4 sections. And I have a section in there which is creating the future. So the first two are about this year. It's about a specific point in time of things that I need to do in order to deliver, to make my boss happy, or whatever else it is I'm doing. But then I think about, what is it that I could be doing that would redefine that future? I'll tell you what, in the payments business, we're currently going through some massive change. Whether it's technology, whether it's regulatory, there is significant change. And if I don't take time to think about that, I'll just fall behind the pack. And very soon, I'll be one of those that existed some time ago. But I think it's great for us, even in our respective ministries, to think about, God, I wonder what that future could look like for my ministry. Whether it's with a bus route, whether it's with soul winning, whether it's with your youth ministry, whether it's with your young adults class, ladies ministry, or the church. I sat about 6 months ago, and I was just in my study. I was asking God, God, what could that look like for me? As I surrender, as I consecrate myself, I wonder what that would look like. And I'll tell you, some of those thoughts were overwhelming. I share this humbly, but I wrote down that morning, God, I'd like to have a part, and I'd like to be used so that 4.5 billion people in this part of the world can hear the gospel once. God, I'd like to have a part to be used so that you can send out laborers into every country in Asia. And Lord, I'd like to have a part in getting them in there, whether it be just opening up some businesses through some men that can come together, whether it's bringing together some men that would be willing to give of their resources. God, I'd like to have a part. God, I'd like to have a part in nationals being trained across every country so that they would know the truth of your word, that they would be able to learn some of the things that are fundamental to our faith so that they will be able to in turn pass it on to that next generation. I'll tell you what, I just wept that morning because those are impossible things for me to do. But as we heard this morning, we've got a great God who's a God of the impossible. And He is able to do far above what you and I can think about or imagine. So create that future. Fill that box up for yourself of what you are desirous of God doing in and through your life. And I'd like you to think about then finally in that fourth box, what are some leadership priorities? If you are to move from being with the thousands that are in this box that are leaders, good leaders, but if you want to move into this box of being one that is transformational, I'd like you to think about what are some priorities that you need to set for yourself. I'd like you to think about some role models that you can see of people around that are in that box of you see having some really good leadership priorities and qualities, and see what are some of those things that you could put us, you could make note for yourself. We've talked about being passionate or purposeful. We talked about planning, and I'd like to then talk about the preparation. And so when it comes to preparation, something that I learned very early in my life is be careful that you do not take on a victim mode. Be careful that you do not take on a victim mode and say, oh, I could only do this if I was given this opportunity. I could only do this if I had a different leader. If I could only do this if, and the list goes on. But quit making excuses. And what I challenge my team is control the controllable. Control the things that you have control of, because that's all you can do. You know, if you are in charge of a Sunday school class, don't quit blaming the pastor about what you can and cannot do. There is nothing that stops you from visiting your neighborhood. There is nothing that stops you from visiting the homes of your family, of those children. There is nothing that stops you from inviting asking those kids to bring another kid. You can double your class. That's up to you. So control the controllables. And then, very quickly, just going to get this up very quickly in the interest of time. There are two things that you need to focus on. And the first is your will. Oh, we've already settled that all of this is only as God leads and directs. But I'm just talking about some things that you and I need to do. And the first is control your will. Just change your mindset. Change your mindset from having that limited mindset to being that person that says anything is possible. And anything is possible as you yield your life to an almighty God. The second is, you know, be one that has thought leadership. Don't just open your mouth. Think some things through. If you're going for a meeting, you know, I tell my team, because I find people right up to the time they come to a meeting, they're preparing their slides. And they've got a great presentation, but they haven't thought through the story of what they want to communicate. And if you want to be successful, invest time in thinking through what you want to accomplish. So before you go for a meeting, I tell myself, let me take 5-10 minutes to think about what is it that I want to accomplish at that meeting? And I write that down. And what are some key things that I need to address? I write that down. And I go prepared for that meeting. And my dear friends, do not underestimate that, whether it's a one-on-one discipleship time or whether you're standing in front of 2,000 people, it doesn't matter. As you are taking time to meet with that individual, take time to think about, where is it that you stopped last week? What are some things that you spoke about that you asked that individual to do? And think about what you want to accomplish in that time and make sure that you stay focused. So thought leadership is critical. The third is, if you want to be in this box of a transformational leader, just like it is, you've got to have a will to win. You have to have a will to win. You know, those folks who train to be in the Olympics don't train to become second or third, because nobody is interested in, people forget those that came second and third, right? You only remember those that win. And so have that mindset of wanting to win. And finally, be a change agent. Be one that influences change. And that means you're not going to be able to get 10 people to come on board just because you sent them a letter. You're not going to be able to get your team to follow you just because you spoke to them once. But if you are to drive change, you're going to have to realize that there are 10 people around you that all act and function differently. You've got to determine what it is that's going to make them tick. What's going to make them come aboard? And there is no shortcut to that of in taking that time and then working with them one-on-one in order to influence that change. And it's important that you as leaders have your people not only buy into your vision, but they will then become people that influence their team. So the first is the will, and the second is the skill. Let me get those up. And so again, we've covered some of these off, so in the interest of time, we'll move on. If you are to develop your skill, it's going to take that you take time to think about your mission, your vision, your specific goals, as you've talked about, but your development plan, and I'm going to come to that in a little while. And here's what I want to just call out. Establish and write out some checkpoints for you that's going to make sure that you stay focused on that journey. Visualize what success could look like for you. I'm speaking about this just from the way I would actually talk to a group of people at American Express. Visualize what it would, but visualize what it would be for you in your ministry with God's help. And establish some checkpoints along the way. And finally, you know, be results driven, but more importantly, focus on consistency. And so take ownership for your personal development. You know, that's what we tell folks. If you are interested in developing, don't expect your boss to do that. He's got other things to do. If you are interested in growing and you're interested in developing, you take ownership for your own development. So here's a simple example, and here's what I use, and I have used. I think about my life as a four-lane highway, and I've got my personal lane. This is my family. This is my personal time, whether it's with my individual time with God or whether it's things that I would do with my family. The first is my personal, the second is my family, the third is my work lane. I work, as I said, in a line of work. And for you, you could think about how you would separate three and four if you are in the area of ministry, or you would want to combine those two together. But I take this page and I think about, in the next, what is it that I would like to do in the next 6 months or 1 year? You determine what that time frame is. And you could have one thing that you want to do in that personal lane. And for me, some time ago, it was just about making sure that I got my personal time with the Lord right. Oh yes, it's easy to spend the 30 minutes. But if I want to be in this camp, I just told myself, God, like those men that woke up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to commit to getting up. And I'm going to fall down on my face before you. And God, I'll tell you what, I struggled with that. I couldn't pray for more than 15 minutes before my mind started wandering or before I fell asleep. But as I committed to stay on that journey, by God's grace, has helped me. You know, for you, it could be reading the Bible. Whatever it is, you think about. For somebody else, it could be, I'll tell you what, you know, I'm just eating pizzas and McDonald's every day. I need to just get out and exercise. Whatever it be for you on that personal lane, write that down. And then write down some simple things that you're going to do on a daily basis in order to get there. And I'd encourage you to think about three areas or four areas of your life and make that commitment. In the area of family, it could be anything, that you're going to wake up and polish your wife's shoes, you know, once a week. Whatever it be, make a decision of what you're going to do. Write that down and work on that. And so three tips: keep it small, keep it manageable, keep it regular. Okay, so those are three tips. So fourth, the preparation. The preparation. And so here's a verse that, again, that I wanted to leave with you. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a preparation also out of that which ye have. And so we spoke about the importance of planning. But if you plan and you do nothing about it, nothing's going to get done. And so here are some simple truths that I want to leave with you. When it comes to executing, be careful to ensure that you're consistent. Because there's nothing worse than having a leader who's inconsistent in the way they communicate, in the way they articulate strategy, or how they go about doing what they're doing. Nobody wants somebody to lead them that one day comes and says, here's what we want to do, and the next day comes and says, no, that's not the case. Because you'll confuse everybody else. So be consistent. Be passionate and change your mindset from and getting about doing what you're doing from that have to want to mindset. I tell my people a simple example. We all have to pay our taxes whether we like it or not, right? Now you can have to do that and get very bitter about it. You can say, you know, that's what I want to do because that's what I need to be doing as a Christian, to making sure that I've got a good testimony as a witness. And passion is an incredible asset. As someone said, it keeps us going through tough times, and it keeps us going when others quit. And so I would encourage you and urge you, because your passion, my dear friends, is only going to come as you and I spend time in God's Word. And so first we talked about consistency. The second is about building credibility. It's about building credibility, and we've already covered that. It's about ensuring that you do what you said you would do. And if you would do that with an individual, if you told him you're going to spend time with him, Take time to spend time with him. If you told him that you're going to return a call, return the call. If you said you were going to take 30 minutes to help him with a particular area that he needs help in, take time to doing that, because that's how you take small steps in building credibility, and you would find that it helps change your people. Develop a strong work ethic, and that comes from building not only good ethics, but building accountability. Ethics, as I've said here, it's about giving of your best and being your personal best. And accountability is about being dependable, being responsible, and taking ownership. And that's the kind of leader who, if you want to be a transformational leader, that's the kind of leader that you and I need to be. And finally, I'd like to talk to you about the area of promotion. And here I'm not talking about you actually asking your pastor to leave so that you can actually become the pastor, but it's about you as a leader becoming a coach. And so a manager in an organization, well, they are important, but they are the taskmasters. They are the ones who keep the eye on the process, making sure that things get are done effectively and efficiently. And yes, as a leader, you need to be that. But if you want to be a transformational leader, you need to think about that role just like a coach would conduct himself with a team. Or that's about having 20 or 30 people that show up for practices at different stages of preparedness and skill sets. It's about you as a coach determining what is it that that individual needs, whether it's a skill or a will issue that you've got to focus on. Because your role as a leader is to make them their personal best. Or not to make them like you, but to make them the best that they can be. And that doesn't work with a cookie-cutter approach where you want to make everybody looking the same. And so here are the three components of leadership that I focus on. Yes, the managing aspect. Yes, the coaching aspect, the leading aspect, the coaching aspect. And then finally, the leading aspect. So yes, you're managing everything around you to make sure that you're getting the best of your resources. You're getting the most out of your people, that you're being optimal in how you're getting things done. It's about getting the best of your people because you're focused on ensuring that they are their personal best. But then finally, it's about you being that leader that is driving that transformational growth. Or not just to go from here to here, but you can decide that if you want to go from here to here, that's up to you. But if you want to go from here to here, that's also up to you. And that's the kind of leader that I would encourage and challenge you to be. And so it's about influencing, and it's about leading others. And five things very quickly. It's about being that example so that you set the pattern. It's about being authentic so that you are transparent and they see you, they see the real you. It's about being that visionary so that you're constantly raising the bar. It's about being the risk taker that has a faith mindset. Oh, I changed that not a growth mindset, but a faith mindset, because your faith is on a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which you're able to do. It's about being that paradigm breaker that challenges the status quo. It's about staying committed on the course and not quitting when you feel like quitting. That's the leader that not only is just being that role model, but is promoting a culture, promoting a lifestyle, promoting a behavior that others could see and emulate. And so in conclusion, I just wanted to leave you with this. Because I want us to think about transformational leaders as we think about our ministries. Oh, it needs to be different, and our focus needs to be different from that of the world. The world is focused on transformational leaders and looks for transformational leaders that are based on self-belief, focused on leaders that have personal abilities, and they're motivated by personal ambitions. That's the leader that you see out in the world. But here's the leader that God looks for. Men that love the Lord, that dwell consistently in his secret place. Men that have yielded their personal rights, as we heard this morning, and men that are fully surrendered. Men that are willing to take God at his word and that are willing to step out by faith. Men that are willing to pursue that mountain like Caleb and not willing to quit. Men that are willing to attempt great things from God because they expect great things from God. That's the leader that God's looking for. That's the leader that you can be if you would be willing to say, God, I'm willing to be that. And I'm willing to be one that you can use to set this world on fire, to set my church on fire, to set my suburb on fire, and my country on fire, and this region on fire. My dear friend, if that young man could make that commitment to have that time that is dedicated and yielded to being alone with God so that God could use him to start a revival a couple of centuries ago, God can use you to set your ministry, your church, your business as one that is shining for him, as we heard this morning. Because when it shines for him, not only does he get the glory that the heathen would see and be surrendered to God. My verse for this conference has been Psalm chapter 111, verse 6. Because as you allow the power of God to work in you, not only is he able to accomplish great things in your life, but that verse says that we may have a heritage amongst the heathen.